In chapter number 6 of Ephesians and verse number 10 and 11, I want to read. He says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Finally, my brethren, be strong. Be strong. Help me out just a little bit this morning. Say, be strong.
Be strong.
That's what the Lord wants. In a time that we live, there's no time for weakness. Amen. We need to be strong. We need to be strong in the Lord. Amen. One of the things that we learn as we begin studying the Bible and in the preaching arena, I had the privilege to go to a school for a little while, and one thing that I learned that I never forgot was that you didn't start a sermon, you don't start preaching in the middle of a conversation. So that's what I'm going to break that rule this morning. I've usually found out that I broke every rule that I ever learned when I preach. So I just want to get that one right up front this morning and get it out in the open. And take care of that right off the hand, because it looks like I'm starting right in the middle of a conversation. Now, the reason that you don't do that is like this, is if you say you're going down the hall and you walk by a open door and there's a couple of people in there and they're carrying on a conversation and you just hear what they say as you walk by and then you try to come to conclusion on what they were talking about. Now, this is where a lot of problems start, because you always begin to estimate, see, because you got to form a conclusion on what they're saying, and you got to use your imagination instead of information. So you use your imagination, and the first thing you think about is they're talking about me. And we all know that we're guilty. So that's the reason that we have that inclination to think that they're talking about me. It's because I'm guilty and I wonder how they found out. Yeah. Isn't that what it's all about? I wonder who told them. Now then they're talking about it and they're spreading it all around. So you got to use, that's the way a lot of sermons are preached too. Instead of taking information, they take imagination. And so that's what happens when you start in the middle of a conversation. So when Paul says, finally, my brethren, he don't mean I'm done. He don't mean this is all of it. He said, I want to bring you to attention of what I've been talking about. I want to bring some final points to what I've been talking about. And so I begin to look back and I found out what he's been talking about is he's been talking about some very doctrinal points throughout the book of Ephesians. He'd been talking about election, predestination. He'd been talking about chosen of God, sealed of God, redemption. He'd been talking about some terrific subjects throughout that we need to understand as Christian people. And now I know that, see, the these doctrines, people will tell you that, well, I don't like doctrine. Yeah. Well, you're not very stable if you don't like doctrine. You got to have doctrine to have something to stand on. Yes, and so Paul teaches us about election and predestination. And I know that the council is still out.
They never have come back in yet. They're still talking about what does election and what does predestination mean. And where is it at? And sometimes we get confused. And let me just see if I can kind of help straighten us out just a little bit so that we'll understand. Because in election, well, just take that door for instance. In election, over that door it says, whosoever will, let him come. And so we, offhand, we say, well, we've been elected in Christ and we can come. This is my decision.
Yeah.
This is my choice. I can come. And so we go on our own and we walk through that door and it says, whosoever will. Then we get in the door, then we look back over it and it says, for whom he did foreknow, them he also called. And that made them conform them to the very image of God.
Yeah.
And then Brother Bobby, we get in there and we find out that this thing was set up.
Yeah.
I didn't have any choice.
Right.
Here I thought I could make my own decision and I could just walk through that door and it was my choice.
Yeah.
Then when I get through the door, I find out it was God's choice.
Amen.
I find that this program's been set up.
Yes.
Well, let me tell you, it has been set up.
Amen.
God predetermined that nobody would go to hell.
Amen.
Nobody. Nobody is predetermined to go to hell. God elected everybody to go to heaven. And then God not only elected us, he predetermined that you go to heaven.
Yes.
Let's get that straight this morning. If you're on the road to hell, you're on the wrong road.
Right.
You're on the wrong road. God has elected and predestined that you go to heaven.
Amen.
But there's a choice. There is that choice. And so we've got to find that choice. And that's where that it really gets real interesting. In verse number 4 of chapter 1, he said, according as he hath chosen us in him.
Yes.
He has chosen us in him. See, your election and your predestination is in Christ Jesus.
Right. Yes, amen.
So you got to get in him to be in God's program. And when you get in him, you find out that I've been elected of God, that I've been predestined of God, and that I have been chosen.
Yes.
That I'm not an afterthought. That I've got a purpose.
Amen.
That I've got a purpose in the plan of God.
Amen.
Think about that a minute. You have a purpose. Your purpose is not just a pre-exist and the hope that someday that there'll be some miraculous thing happen and you'll decide to go to Jesus. That's not God's plan. God's plan is for you to be saved.
Amen.
For you to get in Christ. And for you to go to heaven.
Amen.
That's God's plan.
Amen.
God's plan is for everybody. See, God can't see anybody going to hell.
Amen.
He can see everybody going to heaven. So he chose them. In Christ. And then there is that word regeneration. There's that word adoption. They run parallel. Regeneration and adoption run parallel. And it's good to understand these words, because the Bible said, Jesus said in Matthew 4 and verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.
Amen.
So you have parallel regeneration and adoption.
Amen.
In regeneration, we take on the nature of God. We are regenerated.
Yeah.
We got new genes.
Yeah.
We get his nature. But in regeneration, that's what we got. See, you get his, you get God's nature.
Yes.
Amen.
So a father can have a son that's got his nature but don't have his name. See where I'm at?
Yes.
The son may not even know who his father is. But he's got his nature. He probably walks like him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He probably looks a lot like him.
That's right.
But he may not know who he is.
Right.
So God chose regeneration and adoption.
Yeah.
So when we're regenerated, then God adopts us. And in adoption, he gives us his name.
Amen.
And we become an heir of God. And a joint heir with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We are in the line of inheritance. In adoption, we have everything that God has.
Amen.
See, in regeneration, we just a baby. We don't have any rights. And we can't vote. And we can't drive. And we don't have any rights. But in adoption, we are sons. And we have rights, and we can vote, and we can drive the car, and we can enjoy the benefits.
Yeah.
So God adopts us. But that's not all. See, Paul deals with something else in chapter 1, verse 13. He said he sealed us.
Yes,
he adopted us. And he sealed us. Now, all of us country boys know what sealing is, because mama used to can fruit.
Right.
You remember being called in from the marble game and have to listen to the cans?
Yeah.
Mama said, you count every time. You tell me when one of those pops. That means it's sealed.
Yeah.
If it don't pop, I got to run it back through that canner again.
Yeah, that's right.
Got to get it hot enough for that thing to seal off.
Yeah.
God, when God adopts us, he puts a fire under us.
Amen.
Amen? He begins to burn away the dross. He begins to burn away the impurities.
Right.
He begins to make things pure. The old gold. People that handle the gold in the refinery system, they put the gold into the pan, and they put the pan over the fire, and they turn the heat up, and they shake the froth out.
Yeah, right.
And it burns it out. And when they can look over into the pan and see their face, it's pure.
Yeah.
It's pure then. And it's sealed. God puts a fire under us.
Yeah.
And seals us.
Amen.
And keeps us.
Amen.
You've heard people say, I used to be saved. What they're saying is they're not saved anymore.
Right. Yeah.
Well, they didn't used to be saved either.
Right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
They didn't used to be saved. They used to go to church. And they don't go to church no more is what they mean.
Yeah.
Because, see, when you used to be saved, you still are.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You don't get unsaved.
Amen.
Because Jesus is the door to the
Amen.
Sheepfold.
That's right.
He's not only the door to the sheepfold. He said he was the good shepherd.
Amen.
And he's not only the good shepherd, he's the knower.
Yes, he is.
And as the good shepherd, he goes out and he rounds up the sheep and he brings them in to the sheepfold. And he brings them in at the door. And then when he gets them in at the door, he becomes the door.
Amen.
See, the door is not the opening. The door is what you close to that. So he becomes the door to the sheepfold. And what that literally means is he lays down when he gets them inside the sheepfold, he lays down at the door.
Yes, he does.
And nothing can come in except what he knows. Neither can nothing go out. He knows what goes in. He knows what goes out. He's the door to the sheepfold. He is all that you and I need. He is what we've got to have. Because it is in him that we live and breathe and have our being.
Amen.
So he comes down then. He said, now I want you to know that you've been elected and predestined of God. You've been chosen.
Yes.
You've been chosen. You've been regenerated and adopted. You've been sealed. But finally, I've got something else to say. Finally, my brethren, be strong.
Yes.
Be strong. And he tells us to do something that we can't do. We can't be strong. So he says, let me fix that now. Be strong in the Lord.
Amen.
You can't be strong in yourself. You be strong in the Lord.
Amen.
And in the power of his might. And he said, and here's how you do it. You put on the whole armor of God.
Yes.
You put on the whole armor of God. Having your feet shod, having on the girdle and the garments of the glory of God. Put them all on. Because I want you to be strong for a reason. All of that was for a reason, my brothers and sisters, and here is what it is. That you may be able to stand. You've wondered what's happened to Christianity in the past 20 to 30 years. They've not been able to stand. They have fallen. They have fallen, and the reason is because they weren't strong in the Lord.
Amen.
And if you're not strong in the Lord, you're going to fall too.
Amen.
So he said, be strong. Be strong in the Lord and be strong in the power of his might.
Yes, amen.
That you may be able to withstand the powers and the wiles of the devil.
Amen.
We've got an enemy.
Amen.
And we call him the devil. But do we really realize how organized he is? He said, I want you to stand against the wiles. That word wiles is a word that actually means methods or methodology. It means the cunning, conniving methods of the devil. Did you know that the devil is organized against you?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
He's not just out to get you. He's organized.
Yeah.
He's got a plan. And just because a few things hasn't worked that he's tried against you, he didn't give up. Because he has an organized plan to make us fall. Have you ever noticed that it seemed like if anything's going to tear up over at the house, it tear up on Sunday morning? Did you ever notice the kids a little bit more ornery on Sunday morning? Did you ever notice that you're a little bit more touchy? Oh yeah, you just as well go ahead and agree with me, because you are.
I mean,
your wife says things to you on Saturday morning that don't even more bother you than nothing on Sunday morning. It gets on that nerve.
Yeah.
I wonder why she's picking on me today. And your husband says things on Saturday morning don't bother you, but on Sunday morning it just triggers something.
Yeah.
Why don't he go on to church and leave me alone? The devil is organized.
That's right.
And he's organized against you. He wants you to fall. He wants you. You'd be surprised how many people almost come to church this morning. You would be surprised how many people nearly got ready. You'd be surprised how many people got in the car and a few short words and they unloaded. You know why? Because the devil is organized.
Amen.
And he wasn't able to stop them as they was getting their bath. He wasn't able to stop them at breakfast. But he stopped them by the time they got in the car, and the husband just looked over at his wife and just smiled wrong.
Yeah.
And she unloaded. I'm not going to church today, and you in that mood.
Bless him, Lord.
The devil is organized.
Yes, he is.
And if he don't get you before he gets you into the church house, then he'll get you mad because they sung the wrong song. They sing that song every Sunday. That's the same sermon the preacher preached 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I wish I'd have stayed at home. The devil is organized.
Amen.
He's out to make you upset.
Amen.
He's out to stop you in your Christian journey.
Amen.
He's organized. He said for us to put on the whole armor of God. He wants us to look and put on the whole armor. He said, I want your eyes to be fixed. In Psalms 121, he says, I will lift up mine eyes towards the heavens from whence cometh my help.
Amen.
He wants your eyes fixed. He wants your ears. In Matthew, he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the children of God. He wants your knees. He said, let every knee bow to the Lord. He wants your whole body. Present your body a living sacrifice unto God. God wants all of us that we will be strong and that we will be kind-hearted towards him. Be strong in the Lord. Are you strong this morning? Are you dependent upon the Lord? Or are you just strong within yourself? Or are you strong in his might, in the power of his might? Be strong in the Lord.
Finally, Paul says, my brother. See, he wasn't talking to the infidel and the outcast. He was talking to his brothers and sisters in Christ. Finally, my brethren, be strong. Be strong in the Lord.
Amen.
That would be the word this morning. Be strong. Be strong in the Lord. And if you're not saved, you ought to get saved. Let me say in closing this morning, I've heard it many times, and I've used it over these years in my ministry. I've used it so many times that it's not a shame to be lost. But it's a shame to stay lost when the price has been paid. Amen. When the price has been paid, to stay lost. Because see, remember this in closing. God has chosen you. You said, not me. Yes, he has. He has chosen you in Christ. And if you go to hell, you'll go with God loving you.
Amen.
You'll go with God caring about you.
Yes.
You'll go with God paying the price that you didn't have to go.
Amen.
You didn't have to go. But you could go to heaven. Paid for. Called. God beckoned you to come. Called you, and you just didn't answer.
Amen.
Because if you answer, he's already called. He's already paid the price. And all it's like is for me saying, yes, I receive that gift. Yes, I receive that gift. It don't have to be some miraculous thing, light and flashing and the band are playing and the drums are rolling. It don't have to be anything like that. God just simply says, come.
Amen.
Let us reason together.
Amen.
Would you do that this morning as we sing our invitation on hymn? We're going to ask you to stand together, Brother Ben. We're going to get us a song ready.